I lost a lot of gigs after that because I wasn't doing the expected, you know, high power movement. And a lot of promoters didn't want that. So I went through a lull of career, and then it came roaring back.
Hi, welcome to Resonate, conversations and life lessons from Rancho La Puerta. I am your host, Barry. It's hard to believe that I started in this fitness industry some 40 years ago. I'm glad it's changed a lot. When I first started, it was all about losing weight and body image. Thank gosh, now we look at the whole person. We focus on a person's mind, their spirit, and their physical body. My special guest today started his career about the same time I did. Scott Cole has been named one of the 5 top fitness instructors in the world. Scott started his career by winning the National Aerobic Competition, and then this launched him to be a lecturer and a teacher around the world. He's been teaching and lecturing in 30 different countries. Scott has starred in numerous fitness videos, including Abs of Steel, and his series called Discover Tai Chi, which has sold over 1 million copies. He has trained many celebrities and appeared in numerous TV shows, including The View and Live with Regis and Kelly. Scott has a book coming out this next year, and it's called Better Balance, More Mobility. Scott has truly been at the forefront of merging traditional exercise with mindfulness. I'm looking forward to getting caught up with Scott today. Hey, good morning, Scott. Thanks for joining me. Welcome to Resonate.
Hey, Barry. Good to see you.
Now, I always ask all of my guests where they're coming from today. So where are you today?
I'm coming from my innermost space. No, I live in the Joshua Tree area. I'm in Yucca Valley.
Right.
But prior to the ranch, I have a little place in Ensenada that I've had for 7 years now. So I actually was in Ensenada and drove, you know, from Mexico up to the ranch. So,
right. And you're one of our specialty presenters this week at Rancho La Puerta, teaching Tai Chi, correct?
I am, yes. It's Discover Tai Chi Week. Uh-huh. And so each day, each of the 6 days, I'm doing just a slightly different spin on Discover Tai Chi. Today's is going to be Yoga Tai Chi. So I'm going to blend yoga with Tai Chi. And I've done balanced mobility. We're going to do strength, flexibility, stress reduction. And it's been a great, great time. I've had a great turnout.
Okay, well, wonderful. Well, we're going to get back to Tai Chi in a bit, but first I kind of want to talk about your background, because I think that you and I have been in this fitness industry almost the same amount of time. I started teaching fitness in 1984, so it's shockingly 40 years ago. So
yeah, I was 85.
So about the same amount of time.
Yeah.
But you were kind of became well known. You did all the circuits, you did all the conferences, and like, you know, you were like one of the little fitness stars for sure. So let's talk about your journey to fitness. What got you interested in fitness at the beginning?
Yeah, I was a great sprinter as a child. So I was a runner, and interestingly, not a distance runner at all.
Mm-hmm.
So then played baseball, basketball, got up into high school and college, and I became a head cheerleader for University of Texas at Austin. So I choreographed. I've always been a natural choreographer of movement. My parents clapped on the 1 and 3, so I don't know where my rhythm came from. But I choreographed our national championship routine in 1983.
Okay.
And we got second in the nationals. We fell out of the pyramid at the end, and that kind of pissed me off. So then I got into the aerobic championship movement stuff. And kind of went from there. So
I think some people probably don't even know what that is, but there was a while there that there was a competition for aerobics. Yeah.
The National Aerobic Championship. So out of college, I got my marketing degree, and I was at home in Houston, Texas, where I am from. And I was watching television, and I saw Michelle LeMay, a mutual friend of ours, winning this, you know, strange aerobic championship on television. And I was sitting with my then really little nephew, Matt, watching TV, and I'm watching going, I could do that. Meanwhile, I had not interviewed. My dad was mad at me. I was sitting on the floor like a loser watching TV instead of, you know, going out looking for a job. So I saw this, and my nephew, while I was thinking I could do that and starting to negate myself, my little nephew elbowed me and he goes, "You could do that." And I went, "I could, couldn't I?" Mm-hmm. So I spent the next 2 years, Barry, as you know, training and working towards becoming a national aerobic champion. So the marketer in me wanted an all-male team. So I got Terry Lilly, Noah York, and we worked so hard and we became the first all-male team to win. And so this was December of 86. So we were the 87 champions. And we, before I knew it, I was, you know, in Shape Magazine, Men's Fitness. We actually carried Jane Fonda on stage for her 50th birthday and Lifetime Achievement Award at the IDEA Convention in San Diego.
So that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that kind of like winning that competition kind of,
It launched me. I say that, but it still gives me chills because I really, you know, like many of us, sometimes we have this vision. I really had a vision of that being a huge stepping stone to, you know, move me further into the fitness industry. And then Jeff Vandiver also won the same year. And Jeff he doesn't teach anymore, but he was a fantastic teacher. So he and I created the Jeff and Scott Show, and we both moved to Los Angeles and created this team teaching program and taught at Karen Voigt's famous studio in L.A. People from all over the world would come and literally rent hotel rooms for a month and take our classes, Karen's classes, Billy Goodson's right. Hip-hop, funk. There was a lot going on, and so we were highly profiled there. Traveled internationally to 30 countries. I always describe it like we were the aerobic Beatles in tights, you know, just kind of around the world. And you were part of that industry too.
Yeah. I mean, I never won the competition. I got as high as second, but I did. I became a judge for them for a little while too. So,
right.
Yeah. So, so of all the countries you travel to, do you have a couple favorites?
I do. Mexico's always been a favorite, definitely. Brazil and Japan.
Right.
And probably France and Italy would be up there. Yeah.
I can remember when I used to attend all the national conferences, it seemed like there were always a lot of people from Japan there. So fitness was super big there.
Yes. And back then, the yen was so strong that we always joked that the Japanese instructors would be just spilling $100 bills out of their wallets onto the floor. And back then, you know, we sold cassette tapes. So in Japan, those cassette tapes would go for like $50 back then, 1987, 88, 89. And so the instructors would come over, and America was like a bargain basement for them at the time. So they would stay literally a month, sometimes 2 months, and just take classes, learn, then they'd go back home and do it better than we did, you know?
Right.
The Japanese are very talented movers. So are the Brazilians. Different styles of movement, but I always loved watching culturally what people do with movement.
Right. So, and then you've kind of shifted because you became super, you're kind of known now as like the Tai Chi guy.
Yeah, which is very interesting.
So how did that transition happen? Because, you know, the aerobic competitions were definitely like high impact dance kind of aerobics.
Yes.
Yeah.
And along with high impact, I always was big on low impact because I knew that I wanted to protect my joints, and I could feel if I ever got shin splints, I knew that was not a good thing. So I would not teach people how to get shin splints, but I would, you know, steer them towards, you know, more, you know, power movement centered in the core, using your legs.
I think that's super important. I mean, I protected my joints by losing a lot of muscle.
Yeah.
To keep myself nice and light. Yeah.
Yeah. How convenient. Mm-hmm. Yes. Anyway, so I had traveled the world from 1987 to 1995. It was an absolute frenzy. Like, we'd fly home to L.A. for the weekend, then fly off to Switzerland, fly back, have two nights, go to Japan, fly back, go to Brazil. It was a lot of travel.
Right.
So a friend of mine one day in L.A., not a particularly close friend, said, "Hey, I'm going to take a Tai Chi class. You want to go?" And I said, Yeah. I had never thought of it, really. Had no real interest in China or that style of movement. I went, and Barry, I was moving slowly with my master, Tim O'Connor in L.A., who I owe a great deal of gratitude to. And as I was moving, all of these emotions started coming up. I had, you may not know this, early on in my career in 1988, I lost my sister and my dad within months of each other, both separate health occurrences. So I had shoved, it was at the beginning of all this travel, so I shoved all that grief down, you know, worked on my body. It's a total example of, you know, covering up your emotions. And anyway, in that moment in Tai Chi, it all came up. So I had to leave class. I went out to the parking lot, sobbed for like an hour and a half, and then thought, okay, you know, I'm understanding now that this slow movement holds great beauty and power. And it allowed me to move literally through and out of my grief. So I waited about a month and then decided, okay, Mr. Cole, you got to go back in there and face your fears. So I went back in. I purposely was late. I stood in the back, and Master Tim had started moving. I remember he turned around and looked at me and kind of went, oh, yeah, I knew you'd be back. Then he turned back around and kept moving, and I studied with him for the next 10 years and then started presenting little tidbits of Qigong, Tai Chi, movement therapy in my current session. So I'd infuse my aerobic sessions at first with a Tai Chi warm-up or a Qigong cool-down, you know, just to kind of whet people's appetite for what that might be like. But I do have to say I lost a lot of gigs after that because I wasn't doing the expected, you know, high-power movement. I would do it, but I'd want to do these other things too. And a lot of promoters didn't want that. So I went through a lull of career, and then it came roaring back, I think, based on my dedication to it and also the world catching up a little bit, you know, to yoga and Tai Chi and the benefits of introspective exercise. And also the continuum of Tai Chi is very powerful. So once people, you know, would learn that, then the conventions all wanted me again, you know, and so.
About what was the years that shift happened?
So I felt like I was left out maybe during 97, 98, 99, 2000. And then when I was asked to do the Discover Tai Chi video series with director Andrea Ambandos, who had directed me in Abs of Steel in 95 or 94. Anyway, I was asked to do that, and I felt this great responsibility because I knew it was at the time Gold Hill Home Media, and they were a big distributor. So I knew this was going to be big and my big chance to bring it home and bring it to the American people in a palatable way. I had no desire to pretend to be a Chinese Tai Chi master, but I know how to implement. I know how to break it down. I know how to make it like you do. Fitness instructors know how to make it, you know, work for people who are at whatever stage in their lives they are. So I made it more about not learning these daunting forms, but about increasing balance, mobility, flexibility, strength, and stress reduction. So those are my five elements there to work towards. So yeah, we shot the videos right after 9/11. And it was tragic because we had, not the videos, but you know, America had just experienced 9/11. We had been scheduled to tape in Hawaii, you know, a year prior to that. So when we arrived, a lot of the crew was from New York. So we were all really we were devastated for what had happened. So we all, you know, held hands, talked about it. And I said, you know, I want to make this the most, makes me cry. I want to make this, you know, the most special, beautiful movement series, you know, that I can possibly imagine. So we filmed in Hawaii and in Los Angeles. And, you know, the footage is, I think, some of the best footage that I'll ever have in my life. And anyway, it became very successful. And I was on Regis and Kelly, The View, CNN, you know, Soap Talk with Lisa Rinna, you know, all kinds of TV shows promoting it. And it was just a magical experience that I think has that launched me into the consumer world. Mm-hmm. Abs of Steel had kind of done that, but Abs of Steel, you know, was body and, you know, abs. And this was and still is transformational material for people who need it and want to do it.
Yeah. It's over 1 million copies sold of the series. Yep. That's pretty amazing. So
yeah. And kind of quietly, you know, I never had an infomercial. It wasn't about, you know, fooling anybody. It was about just great content, great promotion, and great sales. And we're still, believe it or not, still selling DVDs of The Balance and Mobility.
Okay.
That's been the biggest title. Beginners was the biggest title for a while, and now Balance and Mobility is the one.
So is that a separate series, Balance and Mobility?
No, it's Discover Tai Chi for Balance and Mobility.
Oh, okay. I got it.
Yeah, so my original series was 5, and then... interesting story. Gold Hill Home Media went bankrupt and stopped paying me. So I came up with a plan that under the new agreement, if the new owners didn't pay me on time, that I would get the whole series. So that's what happened. I was given the whole Discover Tai Chi series, whereas I was hired to do it.
Right.
And now it's mine. So I produced more titles under that. So Balance and Mobility came later.
Okay.
And and that one later became, you know, a big seller and something that I'm teaching here. I mean, everybody at some point in our lives is going to, you know, have an issue with balance and mobility. So it just kind of helps us to troubleshoot and also to, you know, think ahead and learn, okay, how do I keep my legs strong? How do I breathe when I stand and sit? So
Tai Chi certainly has gotten a lot more popular over the last 10 years, I think.
Yes.
Do you think it has something to do with baby boomers getting older and it's more of an exercise that they can do and benefit from?
Yes, definitely the demographic of the older American baby boomers has contributed to the sales. Well, what I find interesting, even here at the ranch, is that a lot of younger people are coming into class and really loving it, like keeping me afterwards going, I really love that and I want to do this. And I thought, wow, if I would have started that, you know, back in our 20s and 30s, I guess I was 33 when I had my first Tai Chi class.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in my 30s. But, obviously I didn't understand it even when I went in there and had the whole experience. Right. It was like this emotional breakthrough for me.
Right.
And I get emails and letters all the time from people who, I found your video at the library and it's changed my life, you know, that type of thing.
So let's say some of our listeners have heard of Tai Chi, but they don't really know what Tai Chi is.
Okay.
Could you give us like a simple breakdown of what Tai Chi is? And also, what is the difference between Qigong and Tai Chi?
Yeah, great questions. Tai Chi is a martial art originating in China. So every slow movement has a martial self-defense form, like Heaven Hands is actually a martial block. So as I'm moving here, I'm turning my waist, and you can imagine that I'm grounded in my leg base. And I actually teach this in the seated position also for people who have trouble standing. And it just, it's slow motion. And when you go slowly through a continuum, you build up your qi, which is your energy. So Tai Chi is taught slowly as a martial art. It's taught slowly until you understand where the movement's coming from. It's coming from, supposed to come from your dantian below your navel, your center point, like the second chakra in yoga.
Mm-hmm.
So Tai Chi is the martial art, and Qigong are really ancient Chinese healing and breathing exercises where movement masters or people just exploring and documenting movement would go out and stretch. They'd mimic animals Heaven Hands or Cloud Hands is a Qigong move that was turned into a martial move. There's a move called Flying Wild Goose where you float your arms up and down. There's hundreds of movement to address every possible thing in the body with Qigong. And then Tai Chi was like combining a bunch of movements, various families, the Yang family, Chen, Sun, Wu, created all these styles of Tai Chi. So And over the years, generations have been disciples of certain lineages. I was trained in the Yang style long form. So that's been my form that I've focused on. So in class, I'll pull Tai Chi postures, they're called, from the Yang style long form, explain them, give them meaning, and talk about, you know, what they can do for your body. And if you're experiencing, you know, balance issues, which ones I would recommend for you and things like that. So
it was 1993 when I first came to the ranch. It had been a difficult time in my life, and my father died unexpectedly in February of that year. In March, and my mother, who was in Missouri and I'm in California, I told her in March I had read about a place in Mexico called Rancho La Puerta that I thought would be really good for both of us to go to. And would she go with me? And she hemmed and she hawed and she wouldn't give me an answer. Well, it got to be May and I'm a college professor, so I had to go during the summer months if I was going to go. So I told Mom in May, I said, I've decided I'm going to go with you or without you. And so she said, okay, I'll go. So we went in August, and my mother was 70 years old at the time, and exercise had not been a big part of her life. So she didn't do those classes, but she enjoyed all the other ranch activities, and she also especially enjoyed talking with the other guests in the gazebo area. And she and I together would go to the meditation class that happened at 5 p.m. every night, and it was called Inner Journey. So we both had a marvelous time. And she told me some months later that she had been so down after Dad died that she really had intended just to kind of get things all in order and then let life go, probably by stopping eating. And but the ranch had given her the realization that she actually had something to live for still. And she lived for another 7 years until a health problem took her. I am incredibly grateful to the ranch for giving me 7 more years with my mother and for helping me to live a healthier life all these years. And this is my 30th visit to the ranch right now. And to kind of sum it up, the ranch to me is all about renewal.
I hope you're enjoying today's podcast as much as I am. To learn more about our wonderful presenters and exciting weeks coming up at the ranch, go to rancholaporta.com and check out our events calendar. Make sure to mention the podcast when making a reservation to take advantage of a special offer. Some restrictions may apply. I hope you're enjoying today's podcast as much as I am. To learn more about our wonderful presenters and exciting weeks coming up at the ranch, go to rancholaporta.com and check out our events calendar. Make sure to mention the podcast when making a reservation to take advantage of a special offer. Some restrictions may apply. Would it be fair to say it's a movement meditation in a way?
Yes. Tai Chi has often been called a moving meditation, also a string of pearls.
So, in what way?
You know what? I'm going to stand up and do my oyster at the bottom of the sea. Are you up for
okay.
it? Okay.
Yeah, I'm up
I'll
for it. Sure.
All right. So,
you'll have to describe it too, because 70% of our people are listening, not watching.
Well, okay. So I'm standing in my leg base. I'm going to sink in. And basically, I'm mimicking an oyster at the bottom of the sea. There's not a lot going on.
Right.
Oyster's like, well, is this all there is? And then one day, a grain of sand enters the oyster shell and lodges in there, and the oyster is forced to move out of irritation, basically.
Right.
Moving out of irritation. And the oyster's thinking, wow, I really liked this better when I didn't have this irritation. Meanwhile, it was complaining before that there was nothing going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
So oyster moves, finally, exhale, smooths it out, and it becomes a pearl. So it becomes a pearl of wisdom born out of experience, irritation, and the need to move through something. So I love that analogy. So Tai Chi, each Tai Chi movement represents a pearl. So the string of pearls would be the entire form and pearls of wisdom, you know, of that particular form.
So what are some of the physiological and benefits to Tai Chi for people?
Yeah, research shows that moving slowly in a continuum, you know, with your knees bent, you're engaging the largest muscle groups, the quads, glutes, hamstrings, is equivalent to cardio. So for people who can't jog anymore or don't want to jog or, you know, for whatever reason, Tai Chi is a great alternative to rev up the metabolism, elevate the heart rate. And a lot of people in class here yesterday and the day before were, they said, I'm sweating. Why am I sweating? Why am I sweating? You're sweating because you're in those muscle groups moving through and breathing in a continuum. Sorry, the bug getting me. In a continuum. So you're doing everything you would do in high intensity exercise. You're elevating the heart rate, utilizing, you know, major muscle groups. You're breathing, you know, smoothly and fully. So you're getting oxygen throughout the body. So yeah. And you're going to be burning fat too, believe it or not.
Also, I think it appears to me that it would be mindful movement. So forcing you to kind of stay in the present moment, stay in your body and stay with what's going on.
Yeah.
Which is why people have, like you first, the first time you had an emotional experience with it. Is that because you were able to tap into something because you're not distracted by?
Exactly. And, you know, I love fast movement. I do both. And I recommend both. So I don't view Tai Chi as the, you know, ultimate solution for everything. It's just one beautiful solution that can be part of your fitness wellness pie.
Part of your pie, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what was the question? I went off a little bit.
No, I was just talking about how you could drop in to get more emotional, in touch with yourself.
Yes.
And something like that.
So, yeah, the introspection comes naturally because, like you said, you're not distracted by bouncing around or, you know, loud music. You're in your body and you're in the moment. And sometimes that's scary for people. You know, it was scary for me that first day. And then I learned, oh man, I want to embrace this. I want to confront this. And I always say, you know, move energy through and out. And when you do that, you make room for more. So a lot of us get stuck with stagnant thoughts, anxiety, you know, and it doesn't change the situation. Like if someone you love dies, it doesn't change that situation, but it changes how your body handles it.
Right.
And that's very, muy importante. It's very important to recognize the energy and let it go. Also just the simple move of opening your arms and lifting your head up opens the heart, allows tension and movement to happen in the heart chakra, allowing us to maybe start the process of grieving and letting go. Because, you know, when the shoulders are forward and you're tensed up, someone has experienced, you know, something awful for them. So it's, they're clenching and the body tries to protect us. So inflammation, tightness, protecting the heart. So once that starts to dissipate, and you can help it move, I don't believe in forcing grief. I just say help it, help it come out, you know.
Right.
And Tai Chi, in that instance I described, helped me immensely to recognize and begin the process of letting go of my anger, my sadness, my grief, my disbelief, you know. Right. I was 26 when they died.
Yeah.
And I was just starting my career and traveling and smiling and, you know, pretty much faking it emotionally all over the world.
I don't know if this would be true or not, but to me, it seems like it'd be a great place for people to start, like who want to start meditating. Because for someone who's never meditated or never even tried, to just sit on the floor and close your eyes and be quiet, Yeah, it's really hard. But I think, you know, with the Tai Chi, the movement actually helps, I think,
yes,
with that. So I agree with
and
that.
I like to alternate. I've coined some moves like Monkey Bear, which is swinging your arms side to side. The Asian Elvis, where you jiggle. It's actually a Qigong move. You jiggle your whole body, almost like a Steve Martin kind of, you know, wild and crazy guy. Jiggle that. So you disrupt the discomfort of slowness for some people with alternating. Okay, you know, let out the tension, and then we come back into the slow again.
Right.
And I've learned that because, like you said, people, it's hard to help someone, you know, you can't sit on a mountaintop and breathe if you're filled with so much anxiety that's still in there.
Something else I kind of wanted to talk to you about is, because you've been in the industry for some time now, we determined maybe 40 years. How would you define wellness now, and how do you see it shifting and changing over the course of your career?
Yeah, it's an interesting evolution. The aerobic days in the 80s, late 70s through 80s and mid 90s, kind of ruled the game. It was all about, you know, the fashion, the tights, the slim bodies, weight loss. Sometimes weight loss at any cost.
For sure.
And then, you know, step aerobics came in, which was a little more low impact, but was also sponsored by product money. So in those early days, we weren't influenced by product money.
Right.
Step Reebok and all these slides and everything came in, and it became more about product money sponsoring it. Infomercials became big. And I think the focus shifted onto, you know, what the product money was saying. So instead of it being up to the entrepreneur or the individual.
Right.
So then, through all that, I think people did become more conscious with diet and exercise combined. And I think we're in a good phase now. I mean, they've all been good. I don't really think good and bad, just different. But the phase now seems to be, you know, Instagram and people really searching for, and there's a lot of shyster things on social media, but, you know, green drinks and naturopathic remedies and healing stuff and digestive things. I mean, people are realizing now that America has a really shitty, you know, food system. We just do, you know?
Yeah.
That's one reason I go to France and Mexico so much. When I eat the food here in Mexico, especially at the ranch, and then also in France and Europe, I mean, they don't allow a lot of things that we allow randomly into our products on the shelves. So I think in answer to the question, people are becoming a lot more conscious of what they put in their bodies and how it affects them.
The way fitness is moving these days, do you think, I feel like group exercise probably isn't as powerful as it used to be. It used to be everything. So now people, they get on, they're on apps and they work out with the apps and all that kind of, especially the young generation. So what advice would you give someone who's looking to start a program or looking for an app? What are the couple of the red flags to look for?
As always, you know, look for the snake oil sales pitch, you know, if it promises to do everything for you, you know, in three easy workouts, or, I mean, if you're doing nothing and then you do 3 minutes a day, I mean, that's progress. So
yeah, that's something for sure.
Yeah. I'm not going to slam that, but, you know, there's not a magic pill. And I think America has always been caught up in the magic pill syndrome of, you know, that solution. Like I remember when tofu became big, Americans would eat, you know, a gallon of tofu thinking that's going to solve their problem. It actually just gave them bloat and raised their estrogen levels. So, you know, the Japanese don't eat, you know, a giant mound of tofu. It's selectively within miso soup, or it's, you know, accompanying something. So that would be an instance of a trend that I think was taken too far. Yeah, I would just be aware of the magic pill promising too much, and also understanding your physical limitations.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you don't want to get in a program and that's too advanced for you and get hurt,
right,
and then not be able to do anything.
Right.
So that's why I always err on the side of caution first to right. establish the leg base, establish what we're doing, elevate the heart rate, like we always did in group exercise. And I teach a lot of Zoom classes. I teach Zoom all the time, both privately, and I have a collective Zoom group that's hilarious from all over the world. And I do love the ability online to come together as an international group of people, because you get to learn so much about mm-hmm. people that you may not be able to travel to their country to learn about. But I do miss the element of touch, and I think even the young people that are on apps and Zoom, if they're not touching and being touched, I think that's an issue.
Right.
As an instructor, I so love hands-on, because I can
right.
people can feel my energy when I'm working privately with them, and then there's just a beauty to being amongst other people and sharing right. energy. That's what right. chi is.
Yeah,
and I do believe chi goes through the airwaves, but it's not the same.
Is there a particular I don't like to use the word aging, because it's happening to me, but I'm in denial. But
really? Yeah, yeah.
As we get older, what are there limits that our bodies have, or is it based on what we've always done, or how should we mix it up? You know, sometimes things like you have a balance is an issue now for people.
Yeah. I say pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And if you notice that you can't do those stairs like you could 3 years ago, or, you know, that would tell me, okay, I need to work on my legs, and maybe it's doing mm-hmm. isometric squats, or I call it a Japanese squat, where you hang onto the chair and you just open your feet about 45 degrees and you kind of sit down in like a squat plié.
Yeah.
To keep the hips open. But as we get older, you know, our extensor muscles in our legs tend to weaken if we're not bending our knees and doing things that mm-hmm. employ those muscles. So that's one of the first things I do with people who are having balance issues, is get them back into their leg base, get them bending their knees and sitting in a squat.
Right.
Or a lunge. Lunges are a little more difficult too, I think, because of the knees. And as you get older, I'll do a braced lunge, and I'll probably do it more isometrically, hold it down for 3 counts and then slowly, slowly come up, that type of thing. I won't do traveling momentum lunges anymore at all, for me or with anybody, because I've just seen too much damage with that.
Right. I just know that from we talked about how big in the late 70s and 80s all this jumping around aerobics was, and now I think almost all the baby boomers I know have had a hip replacement, a knee replacement, shoulders.
Yeah, I can name fitness people that have, yeah.
But just because, you know, we learn as we go, you know, so I think that we've gotten smarter.
I'm knocking on wood about the hip and knee. Luckily, I have not had that, but I actually think Tai Chi saved me from that, because I started doing that, you know, towards the end of my aerobic career, and I've been slowly in my leg base now for 30 years.
Right.
I can be a living testimonial that has helped me immensely not to have the joint injuries that a lot of people who were, you know, involved in that part of the industry have or had.
Right. So what's happening in your future? I think I read you have a book coming out.
Yes. And I'm excited about that. I'm being published by Human Kinetics. Uh-huh. I wrote a book for them 23 years ago called Athletic Abs. And this one is called Better Balance, More Mobility.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got about 5 chapters done already, and I actually need to be writing while I'm here at the ranch.
Yeah.
But there's too much else to do, you know?
Yeah. When is your deadline?
It's fun. Well, they need to have the bulk of it by mid-October, so I have a few weeks left. The difficult part is the exercise descriptions.
Yeah.
I've got all the stories, I've got all the material, I've got all the exercises I want to do. But writing those exercise descriptions is, to get people to understand what it is you want them to do in a book. We're going to have a lot of video also. So that's cool now with digital publishing. So it's a whole different contract than it was 23 years ago.
Right. What is your target market with that book?
Probably 50 plus, mm-hmm. age plus, but it's also going to be people who have injuries that they're recovering from. Right. So that could be any age. Also people who just want to be more flexible and more mobile. There's a lot of, lot of fluidity moves in there, and you know, lots of things that even there's a section in the chair, two sections in the chair, and definitely standing, holding onto the chair, and also standing on your own, and a little bit of floor, a little bit of floor work. And I love working with an ottoman. I love being in a chair, putting your leg up on an ottoman, and then doing all kinds of lengthening and stretching exercises. And I'm big on the spine. I worked in pain management for 5 years, so I developed all these elevated spinal moves, like this one's Tree in the Breeze, where you close your eyes, you let your torso move side to side. And it's interesting how difficult those are for some people to get out of their own way, to just let the spine go.
Now, our co-founder, Deborah, who's 103, and I've interviewed her many times, and she always says, movement is life. Stop moving, you stop living. And I read somewhere that you said movement is medicine. So at whatever age you are, I would imagine that the important thing is that you move, or move within what your body can do.
Yes. I tell people that, you know, has not moving ever helped you?
That's a good point.
Yeah. Like doctors will say, well, you know, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. And so people are like, well, my doctor says I shouldn't move my arm. I'm like, well, you've got to move something. And breath is movement. So if someone, like I had patients that were in major car accidents, and they really, it hurt them to move. So we would start with just the breathing. I'd put my hands on their shoulders to calm them down, lower the cortisol, the stress hormones, the adrenaline, the elements of fear, get them breathing again, and then we would do what I called a micro movement, where it would be just the smallest thing. Could be fingers, it could be a little bit of spine, it could be just the jaw, you know, just start small and then incrementally get bigger.
No, that's great advice. So if people want to follow you, find out what you're doing, Is it, I'm sure you have a website.
Yeah. My website is scottcole.com, S-C-O-T-T-C-O-L-E.com. And then my Instagram is Scott Cole Wellness.
Okay.
And it's a private account, but just, you know, when you hit me up, friend me, and I will, I'll let you in, make sure you're not a scammer.
All right. Well, and, We're glad that you're here at the ranch this week, sharing your gifts with our guests. And thanks you for taking this time to talk to me today.
Yeah, you're awesome.
I really appreciate it. It was really fun, super fun. So I will see you around campus for sure.
Sounds good.
I first met Scott back in the 80s when I hired him to come to Montana to the club I was managing and teach workshops. It was so nice to catch up with him today and to relive the way fitness has changed over the past 40 years. I'm so glad that it is taking a broader view at fitness than it used to. We know that fitness is just not what you look like on the outside. It's also the well-being of the whole person, your mind, your spiritual self, and your body. One thing that hasn't changed over all these years is that movement is important to maintain one's health and your ability to enjoy life. Scott said that movement is medicine, and I would agree. Movement can take many forms, and it certainly doesn't have to only occur in a gym. When Scott discovered Tai Chi in his 30s, it allowed him to reach in and deal with some of the emotional things that he had pent up, losing his dad and sister both in the same year, and he hadn't had a chance to deal with it. And Tai Chi was the vehicle that helped him work through that. The physical benefits of Tai Chi can be like any other form of exercise: increased heart rate, increased mobility, better balance, flexibility, and improved muscular health. Add on to that, that Tai Chi has been shown to calm our nervous systems, and you also get a lot of the benefits you would get from more traditional meditation. I don't know about you, but I've tried Tai Chi in the past, and Scott has inspired me to try it again. If you haven't tried it, I'm sure you'll find somewhere local to give it a shot. Until next time, this is Barry wishing you health and daily joy.